You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Gaming Podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
It's Thursday, December 14th, and welcome to another episode of Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Video Game Podcast. My name is John Wall, and every week I bring you the latest gaming impressions, industry news, and tales of a Gen X geek delivered to you in about 15 minutes to fit your busy life. I am very happy to have you here today because on this episode, I'm going to be talking about Alan Wake 2. And to make sure that you never miss an episode of the show, you can subscribe. And it's available on all major platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. And I would greatly appreciate it if you left a review while you're there. It really helps to get the word out about the show. Also, if you'd like to chat about today's show or just talk about games, you can find me on Threads and Facebook by searching for Midlife SideQuest. Every week I open the episode by sending out some positive vibes. It's a special shout out to somebody who I admire and appreciate in an attempt to spread some good energy and make the gaming space a bit more friendly. And this week's positive vibes are going out to the fellas over at DLC. Now, in case you haven't listened before, DLC is a weekly gaming podcast hosted by Jeff Cannata and Christian Spicer, and they are currently on their 10th year of the show. I love the show, and not just because I've been a guest on it twice before, but because, like what I'm trying to do with this show, they focus on positivity and the joy gaming brings instead of console war silliness or taking cheap shots at people. And, you know, they're just great and they're positive and they're also very relatable. They're both, you know, older guys with families. And for me personally, I just connect more with podcast hosts my own age who have similar life experiences. So if you haven't checked it out before, go give DLC a follow and a listen right now. I've been preaching the gospel of Alan Wake for years now. The 2010 original is one of my favorite games of that generation. The story of a writer who travels to the town of Bright Falls and gets sucked into a bizarre mystery surrounding an evil entity which is trapped in the depths of a lake. It was an amazing blend of action horror and Twilight Zone levels of weirdness. It's one of those games that I always use as an example of a game that isn't perfect, but it is so much more than the sum of its parts. It had that X factor that just made it an instant classic for me. Now, fast forward 13 years, and Remedy has become one of the highest regarded developers in the business. Since Alan Wake came out, they've released the criminally underrated Quantum Break, as well as the hit game Control back in 2019, which sort of attempted to tie together several other of their properties into this one cohesive universe. And after giving up hope of ever getting a sequel, now we have Alan Wake 2, which I have been chipping away at over the last couple of weeks. Now, I say chipping away because I'm probably only like halfway through the game. When I downloaded the game a few weeks ago and penciled it in for this week's episode of the show, I had every expectation that I'd be talking about a game that I had already finished. But that hasn't happened. In fact, I'm having a hard time playing this game for much more than like 30 minutes at a time. And not because I'm not enjoying it, you know, quite the contrary. It's a stunning game that I find absolutely enthralling. I can't play it for very long because the game shoots my nerves to absolute hell. I am serious. This game makes me feel so tense and wound up that I physically can't take it for that long. The sequel takes place like 13 years after the events of the first game, and FBI agent Saga Anderson and her partner are investigating some ritualistic murders in the town of Bright Falls. And after a little digging, they find out that this case shares some things in common with a case from years back and the writer Alan Wake, who has been missing all this time. So without giving too much away about the plot or the circumstances and connections between the two, you will end up playing as both Saga Anderson and Alan, being able to switch back and forth between their two stories pretty much whenever you want. When you play as Saga, you'll be conducting your investigation in Bright Falls and the surrounding areas, which are mostly heavily wooded locations like a trailer park or an abandoned theme park. And as Alan, you'll be in New York City, or at least some kind of version of New York City. In both instances, the environments are dark and filled with flickering lights and shadows casting all over that creates this sense of fear and paranoia. Like, was that shadow in the distance just a branch swaying in the wind or something worse? And the game does this brilliant thing where it works in these flickers of live action into the environments as the lines blur between what's real and what isn't. It's really, really interesting visually to play this game. Gameplay-wise, it's pretty much what you remember from the first game. You know, while there's not a ton of combat in the game, when you do have to fight, you'll be going up against people corrupted by the darkness who are sensitive to light. So you'll use your flashlight to weaken the enemy before attacking them with your guns. And you can also use items like road flares or a flare gun to take on multiple enemies at once and do more damage. The combat isn't, you know, it's not amazing. And if anything, I found it, you know, a little bit confusing at times as far as communicating what you needed to do to take down an enemy. You know, sometimes I'd have to shine my light on enemies for just a little while to wear them down. And sometimes it took much, much longer. And I'm not really sure why. Other times the light by itself would make the enemy completely disappear without having to use my guns. I don't know. It just seemed somewhat random. But overall, I would say that the combat is, it's serviceable. It's fine. Another thing that I'm not quite vibing with are these segments where Saga goes into what they call her mind place. It's like her subconscious, where she'll look over evidence she's collected and piece it together on a large bulletin board using string to connect the dots and try and solve the case. She can also mentally profile characters in this place to find out more about them or find out what they're hiding. For me, though, the concept just doesn't quite come together in a really satisfying way. I didn't really feel like I was solving anything rather than just slapping pieces down. Most of the time I would just, you know, take these pieces of evidence and place them wherever until it told me I did it correctly. And half the time, I don't even know if it was necessarily, you know, if it was necessary rather to go through these steps. I don't know what I was gaining by doing some of this. But I guess it wouldn't be a Remedy game without some weird, bizarre gameplay mechanic that doesn't quite fit in with the rest of the game. Those couple of quibbles aside, though, what I'm really here for with Alan Wake game is the atmosphere and the storytelling. And it's there where it counts that they absolutely have nailed it. One of the things that I loved about the first game, and I was afraid that they would lose in the sequel to appeal to a broader audience, was just how weird that game was. And Alan Wake 2 not only, you know, kept the crazy, but they cranked it up to 11. This game gets wild. From the Koskela brothers, who run the local coffee-themed amusement park, among other things in town, to the retired rockers, Odin and Tor, the talk show host, Mr. Door, who clearly is more involved in this story than he's letting on, and a sequence in the middle of the game, which I don't want to spoil it, but if you watched the Game Awards, you probably have a clue. This game is so full of bizarre characters and wild moments that it is taking all of my brain power to try and make sense of it and just follow along. I am, though, really loving my time with Alan Wake 2 so far. It is stunning to look at. It's creative in a way that few games are these days. And it's continuing a story that I never thought I would get more of. Remedy are really, really at the top of their game. And if you enjoyed the original game or some of their other recent games, I think you're going to really enjoy what they're doing here. And while it isn't perfect, you know, none of their games have been. They take big, bold swings, and every once in a while, you know, they strike out. But when they connect, you better stand back. It's one of my favorite experiences of the year, for sure, and I highly recommend it. You know, you just may need to have a cup of tea and watch an episode of Bluey afterwards to unwind. This week, the ESA announced that the E3 Expo, which was started in 1995 and has been the event that brought the entire games industry together for decades, is no more. The show is over and it will not be returning for real this time. This isn't a surprise to anybody that's been paying attention. Most publishers have decided to showcase their games at their own events, either in person or through their digital presentations. But I'm still quite bummed out for those of us that look forward to the show every year and have been following it for years. In 2017, I attended my first of two E3s thanks to Reed Albers. Reed helped to organize the show, and he reached out to me saying that he was enjoying the content that I was creating and he could get us media badges to attend the show if I was interested. It was an astounding moment, you know, both as that nerdy kid who grew up reading E3 news in the pages of EGM and Game Fan, but also as a content creator who, like, suddenly felt like what I was doing was good and it was worthwhile. Those 2 years at E3 are full of amazing memories, from attending the Bethesda and Xbox press conferences to meeting people like Shuhei Yoshida, Victor Lucas, Neil Druckmann, Corey Barlog, and of course the late great Bobby Pauls, the Nintendo guru. It was clear in the later years that the industry no longer needed E3, but in 2017 and 2018, I certainly did. And I will always be grateful to Reed for that opportunity, and I will be proud of myself for getting there. Thank you for listening to Midlife Side Quest. I appreciate you making time in your day for me. Don't forget you can catch a new episode of the show every Thursday morning wherever you listen to podcasts, and you can catch And you can show your support by subscribing and leaving a review. And if you'd like to chat, hang out, look for Midlife SideQuest on Threads and Facebook. So until next week, be well and happy gaming.